Oh, welcome back, Beppers. We've had another very, very big week in fantasy. We finally started the season, which is nice. Had a full weekend in footy, even though we haven't got one this week because of the stupid buys in round zero, which is always fun. So the Lions lost again, which I'm not happy with. And any of their kind of useless defensive efforts to completely die in the ass for a quarter. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But the less said about that, the better. My fantasy team itself was mediocre, picking up where it left off last year in its mediocre-ness. I scored, let's have a look, last round, 20-40, which is not too bad. Had a good captaincy effort, put the VC on Dacos. But, yeah, I think from Twitter, a lot of people didn't go so well. So, yeah, that's all right. Had a rank of about 17,000, which is okay. And, yeah, there was something from over the water about 100,000 deviled eggs being sold for 10 bucks in Tassie. I don't know. I didn't follow that. Or a weird bunch over the river of water. Not a river. It might as well be a river, those guys. God, I'm thinking of my Swan Hill days looking over the river. No, it's over the Bass Strait. Lots bigger than a river. Anyway, so to help us out this week, we have the draft streamer man, stream team himself, Mr. Matty Fowers. How are you going tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, mate. I'm nursing a bit of a sore back. It seems to be a theme at the draft doctors at the moment. But, yeah, my first time podcasting for Fantasy Footy, so I'm really, really appreciative that you've got me here.
No worries. It is interesting you say it's your first time podcasting because you've been involved with the draft doctors for a long time, haven't you?
I think it's about my fourth year with them, third or fourth year. I basically started when I was jobless in Canada and I needed a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So I drunkenly reached out to Stevie Fizz on Twitter and said, hey, I've got an idea for a weekly article. Give me a go. And he just said, write it and we'll post it if it's somewhat coherent. And yeah, 4 years later, I'm still doing it. And I got to write for the kit this year, which was a lot of fun. A lot of work, but I do the research mostly anyway, so being able to put my thoughts onto paper was cool.
And they've never asked you to be on the pod because Stevie does a lot of self pods.
Yeah, no, they haven't. I haven't asked. It's really a high ambition of mine. I like Stevie's solo pods a lot, and when him and Stato get on a roll, it's entertaining enough. I think I'm not sure I'd have much to add.
Yeah, fair enough. So you got your stream team article every week, and you detail the players that are going to score the highest, just single week, isn't it? Like you're likely to pump them at the end of the week as well.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're not familiar with the concept of streaming, you know, you've got players that miss, and if you need that 1 week filler, that guy that might pop off, or you know, just someone sturdy back there, I sort of comb over all the against team stats, which I find, resources like Calvin's scale of hardness and the DFS. I think the section's called Defenders Against. And I basically weigh up all the numbers and make suggestions based on that. So this year, we don't have a lot of data, but I'm going off of mostly trends from last year, like St. Kilda matchups, defenders against them. It's not looking great tonight because I suggested Jeremy Howe and we're closing in on half time and I don't think he's doing very well at all. He's on 13 AFL fantasy. So, I might have to reset my formula next week.
Who else have you got for this week?
I really liked Jeremy Sharp this week.
Okay.
I always have a shoe-in of the week, someone I think's going to be guaranteed at least like an 85 AF. And Jeremy Sharp against, who was it, North Melbourne?
Yep.
Yeah, he was my shoe-in this week. I also like the Suns defenders against the Dogs. I went with Charlie Ballard, but I think our boy Butterick can really bounce back at my stadium there.
And you're looking for what? Is there like a percentage owned you're looking under?
Yeah, for defenders, I keep it under. I try not to go over 50%. I think defenders are the easiest stream.
Yeah,
legit. Midfielders, especially in deeper leagues, are the toughest. So I go over the percentage owned there, 50%. Just because you've usually got most leagues are playing like 5 to 7. So I've got a bit more leeway in the ownership numbers there. And the midfielders are the ones that are most often being replaced, I've found. So I bump the ownership threshold up a little bit there. And then forwards, I'm just looking for guys that can really get that spike, sort of 100 plus. The key position forwards against weak teams is...
Yeah, surely it's just big forwards against shit teams.
Yeah, I mean, like, key position forwards against West Coast, I shouldn't even put them in at this point. Everyone should know about that. It's so obvious.
Are the Tigers a shit team? Would you pick Dixon this week?
Yeah, I would. I would. Okay. Their defense is decimated. Obviously, they've got no Gibkiss, and I couldn't even name one of their other key defenders apart from Grimes at the moment. But yeah, Dixon, Marshall, they're pretty good plays this week.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's a lot of streaming options. Although you stuffed up in the ruck a bit last week, didn't you? Not that that's the easiest position to stream.
Well, I think it was you on Twitter who countered my Reece Stanley with Ned Reeves. And Ned Reeves actually had a really good first quarter. And I'm like, Miller's going to hold me to this. But
and he did nothing. Yeah. Well, I did. I had a draft comp, I think, where I was taking a backup ruck. And I had a choice out of Reeves and De Conning. And I took Reeves. So that didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it in this in the article this week. SDK is pretty much a must-own at this point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that you've got to get some of that decoding action if he's still available on your waivers.
Yeah, I mean, if you're losing a ruck in the 10-man league and most teams have drafted a backup ruck, you're left with real scraps at the moment.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing. That's just in... That's just single season leagues. Forget it if you're trying to pick up a replacement ruck and a keeper.
Yeah, no chance.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. All right, we might as well. Oh, you go.
So I was just going to ask, are you streaming any players this week?
I probably will. Well, I will on the basis of just the buyers, and my teams are all full of Lions generally in drafts and keepers. So I'm having to go pick up some players. And yeah, guys like Dixon or with midfielders, it's generally just whoever's available. Because that's a struggle. But I picked up some defenders. I can't remember exactly who it was, but it's always I always have the problem and I end up not streaming because I go, I've got to stream someone. And you're like, well, who do I drop? And yeah, it's always tricky. Like, do I really want to drop that guy? Especially like if you've got, you end up being faced with a decision like you've got an injured gun and you're like, well, how are they long going to be out for? And if I put them back on the waiver, someone's going to take them straight off.
Yeah, I wouldn't stream in that situation. But if it's a droppable player, trying a loophole in your rolling lockout leagues is very valuable in drafts as well.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not completely up with the draft strategy of that kind of thing, but it's something I might have to look at, especially with these kind of micro buys, which are going to smash you if you've got... I end up with a lot of Carlton players as well, like guys like Cripps and Wiedering hasn't bloody come back, which has annoyed me in draft leagues because I drafted him high. We're supposed to be back for round one, and I don't know when he's back now.
Using the loophole will be made pretty easy with the frequency of buys at the moment, so it's a strategy that I would be employing in all draft leagues.
Yeah, because you can loophole buy guys whenever, can't you? Because they don't lock out until the last round.
Don't have to sit on your phone and worry about the fixture, which is the worst part of fantasy these days, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I had that problem last week. I was using that Reedy guy to loophole, and I had to wait till the last game actually locked out to see if they were going to play him as sub or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just it benefits the diehards, you know. It's something
that is, it just rorts the casuals.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, which is nasty. All right, let's have a look through the teams. So we've obviously got tonight's game, which is out, but we've had, we spoke about the Bonner situation, which doesn't look too good. And we spoke about, we touched on Mason Wood being injured, so that's going to probably factor in for draft. So, interesting game going on there. On Friday night, we've got the Crows and the Cats. Not too many relevant ins in terms of fantasy. Tex is back. That's probably a streaming option.
Yeah, he's probably owned Tex.
You reckon people have got Tex even if he was injured the first week? I guess in drafts he would be.
Yeah, I mean, the forward lines are so bereft of many, anything close to premiums this year. I can imagine people would have drafted and held Tex, although I think his availability was a question mark, or his timeline was at least. So,
yeah.
Well, if he's on waivers, he's definitely worth a pickup.
Oh, I think so. What else have we got from an Ian's point of view? Mark Keane, Edward Henry, none of those are worth it. James Ballas, I've got him in some very deep keepers. Lockie Scholl, Lockie Gollant is also a mid-edge. Tanner Bruin's out, which might be draft relevant. And Oisin Moulin comes in. So, yeah, not too much from that game, really.
Bruin would have been a great pickup if he wasn't dealing with that niggle. And I just saw Texas ownership is over 70% in AFL fantasy. So I don't think he'll be available in many leagues.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. Trade. Let's look at relevant trades in that game. What do you make of Dempsey? You bring him in?
I'm fading. The fantasy's latest buzzword, fading. I'm going to fade Dempsey. I just doubt that sort of role as a fantasy scoring role personally. How about you?
Yeah, I thought he was, I've been saying on Twitter this week, I think he's a bit of a one-game wonder. That said, he is very, very cheap. So it's not much of a risk you're taking by bringing him in. But yeah, you certainly wouldn't expect him to do what he did last week.
I wouldn't. Are we talking Supercoach as well on this podcast, or is it just
Generally just AFL fantasy? But if you've got Supercoach tidbits, you can throw them in.
I was just going to say, you've got another week to wait on Dempsey. I'd absolutely wait in Supercoach before his price moves. But in AFL fantasy, he's definitely a play. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, no, me neither. What do you do? I don't know if it's terribly classic relevant. It might be more draft than keeper league relevant. What do you do with Sam Berry? I thought he was going to come in and do something, but he was pretty average.
You give him one more week. Those conditions were pretty difficult, but you think that those kind of conditions would suit him. I've got him in a keeper league, so I'm definitely going to hold him for at least one more week. We can add and drop in that league. I'll reassess after. The game against the Cats, who have got a pretty weak midfield.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That probably brings that into your captain points. There's pretty much any of the big mids for the Crows, you'd be looking to put the captaincy on Dawson, Laird, anyone around there. You got any other captaincy picks?
Well, we'll get to our bold predictions later. Oh, but mine does feature a player from the Crows, midfielder, but love the Crows midfielders for captaincy options this week.
Yeah, I think that's a big go. Streaming options in this game?
I did have Tanner Bruin listed because he was 37% owned at the time I wrote the Stream Team article this week, but he's obviously missing. Nothing obvious that the historic numbers suggest, no.
I had Sam Berry to be thrown back on the waiver. That was my note from this game. I've had enough of him. I don't know if I can actually do it with the bias, but I certainly thought about it.
In shallower leagues, you can afford to drop him. I'd be giving him one more week in deeper leagues.
Yeah, no, that's probably fair enough. Considering he played almost none last year, we don't really know what he's going to do. What do we got next? North and the Dockers. Not a lot from a ins and outs point of view, but an incredibly fantasy relevant game, nonetheless. Luke McDonald, Jai Simpkin comes in. Jai Simpkin's interesting.
Yeah, I know Stevie Fizz is way off Simpkin this year, and I kind of agree with his logic. I don't think Simpkin's going to have enough inside time to be totally relevant. Obviously, he's got to be owned, but I wouldn't be expecting too much from him.
Yeah, might neither this week. Liam Shields, Josh Goda out. Josh Goda's injured, obviously. Love for Josh Goda in keeper leagues, but obviously that's going to seem out for a while.
Yeah, you're going to have to put that love on hold.
I think so. Yeah, Matt Tabanar, Josh Draper, who looks like a new guy, must be cheap from a fantasy point of view.
Classic key category. Defender.
Key defender, and you don't want to bring that in unless you're desperate for a downgrade. 200K. There we go.
Definitely don't go for him. But good news for Luke Ryan and what's his face there? The long-haired guy that everyone's got. Young.
Young. I was going to go Luke Jackson. He's the other long-haired guy that everyone's got.
No, should keep Young in the midfield.
Yeah, I think so. There was talk of pushing him back because they got a lot of defenders injured last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they were hit hard. not as hard as Brisbane's finals aspirations.
No,
but yeah.
certainly, yeah. They lost a lot of players and still managed to beat the Lions by 30 points. So I don't know what that says for us.
Yeah, it's not great signs, but we've got the week to rest. And yeah, let's, like you said, let's not talk about it.
That's true. Yeah, Jake O'Meara comes in, which is interesting, probably from a draft point of view.
I'm not interested. I was hot on him last year and thought with the opening up of the midfield time there, he might have got some decent chances to score. And he just, he had the chances, he didn't score. And now they've got a more stacked midfield. And I'm not on Jaeger at all. I don't think he's going to be very fantasy relevant in 2024.
Yeah, he's probably going to come in and out a lot too, I'd imagine.
I agree.
So we got Oscar McDonald injured, Brennan Cox injured, Neil Erasmus omitted, which is just harsh. Yeah, Erasmus would have to be shattered. He might even look to go somewhere else. I've seen people talking on Twitter today. Seems to get dropped a lot.
Yeah, and I only hear his name really in keeper circles. And I don't follow much junior footy. I'm not much of a keeper guy, but I think there's a lot of coaches out there that would be unhappy with his omission, especially in place of someone like Jaeger.
Yeah, I think so. There's always talk of him. What is it? Him and Johnson, I think, competing for the same position. So he seems to be well on the outer there, having lost that battle.
Yeah, I really like Matt Johnson. I do know a little bit more about him. He'd be one I'm keeping an eye on in keepers over the next 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good pickup. What else have we got for this game? Few trade options. Sharp, as you mentioned. Yeah, certainly a good stream. Would you pick him up in Classic if you haven't already?
Yeah, you have to. If you haven't nailed your rookies, I think Sharp, and I know I said I'm fading Dempsey, but I've kind of nailed my rookies. I think Sharp and Dempsey are the two in AFL fantasy you got to get on this week.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've nailed my on-field rookies. My bench rookies are a bit of a mess. But then I'd switch some of them out for the bye. So yeah, I'll probably have to look at swapping some of those guys up. Charlie Lazaro is probably the big one. I don't know if he counts as a rookie, but he was cheap and he was average. I think he'll probably get the punt this week.
He's maintained his spot in the side. I reckon he's very much a sub-watch.
Yeah, that's that could be a big... We probably should start a sub-watch section on this show. That'd be interesting. What else have I got from trades? Sarong. Yeah, I think there's a... If you can get to Sarong, you go there. I don't know if there's much upside from the ridiculous amount of money he is, though.
I'm not a fan of jumping on guys that have just had this 160 once every 15 games kind of score.
Yeah, he's competing with Brayshaw for that kind of big score each week too, isn't he? Like, they're not, both of them are not going to be up every week.
Yeah, you know, I just, what are the chances he's going to score like that again in the next 10 rounds? It's a trap people fall for every year. If you genuinely think he's going to be a top 3 to 5 midfielder and you can fix a problem by bring him in, but I wouldn't go moving mountains for Sarong. He's going to get attention. He'll be the number one tag target, especially That's after true. That game.
He's playing North this week though, so yeah, you'd get a sugar hit this week, but how much of a long-term position it is, I don't know.
That's attractive. He's a genuine captain option along with Sheasel. I think Sheasel looked so good last week. I don't have Sheasel in any of my classic I don't have him in one team actually, draft or salary, but I really wish I did.
I've got him in a few draft teams. And I think, I do have him in my salary team as well, just checking that. So yeah, that's a possibility for a captain option.
And just one quick stream that might be a nice one is Zerha. Yeah. Can score on his day, and his ilk of forward do like to play against Freo. So I mentioned him in the article this week. So if you need a plug, a forward line hole, I really like Cam Zerha.
And they've got a lot of defensive injuries too. I didn't have people, but I had North forwards written down as stream options.
Yeah. Yep. Nah, I'm with you.
Zeri, would you bring Zeri in for someone like a Grundy?
Absolutely. I think that's the most important trade to make if you don't have...
You wouldn't wait another week on Grundy?
I'm going to wait another week on Grundy in Supercoach. Okay. Supercoach rewards Ruckman a little more than AF. I think Grundy to Sherry, if it works for your team, is an absolute no-brainer.
What about... I do have him, actually. I must have been fiddling around with this last minute last week. Nat Fyfe, would you be looking to get rid of him if you've got him in Classic, or just stick him around? You get an 86, so that's fine.
I like him in both formats. I'd wait one more week again for the price rise situation in Supercoach, but in AF, I think he's a fine player, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And, yeah, Luke Jackson, obviously, I don't know if you'd bring him in, but you probably wouldn't bother. He got a 96 last week. His job security in that ruck position is a question about how long Tass is out for. But, yeah, I think he's solid enough that you'd keep him, but you wouldn't look to bring him in either, I don't think.
No, I agree. There was talk of a young guy named Reed actually getting on the plane and giving Jackson a chop out.
So
one of the best fantasy reporters in the game, Footy Rhino, as I like to reminiscently call him, tweeted out that this Reed guy didn't get on the plane, so Jackson's still clear to have that number one role.
Okay. I got a boner pick with Footy Rhino because he was the one that stirred up all that trouble about Neil going back there a couple of years ago, and that never happened, and he was totally off base about that. So I'm still not forgiving him for that one.
Really? I haven't realized, or I've never seen any of his rumor mongering. I always thought
He's pretty good during the season, but yeah, during trade period, he's like, he full on goes after anyone that could come to Frio or West Coast.
Does he? All right, I'll keep an eye out for that. I still love Footy Rhino. I really miss his podcast. His podcast was one of the first fantasy footy podcasts I ever listened to.
I never listened to his podcast. I just see his Twitter stuff.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't have it anymore. This would have been like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. No, his podcast was awesome. He all he did was quote movies and compare players to like scenes in films. It was awesome.
Okay. Like, yeah, that sounds
pretty good. Cross fantasy footy content.
Nice. No, I might give him a little soft edge, but still, he's in my bad books for now. Hawthorn and Melbourne. Harrison Petty comes in for Woden on the Melbourne side, but otherwise no changes for the Hawks, which is interesting considering they had some things to work on last week, I would have thought.
Yeah, I thought the same.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Hawks. I'm getting tipping the D's by about 25 points.
I've got them by 31.
Okay. You don't think that the Hawks are much good at all. I think the D's – do the D's not match up very well against the Hawks historically?
I couldn't tell you, mate. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. I pay far more attention to fantasy stats than stats.
No, that's fair enough. I do. I've got a very competitive tipping comp at work, so I tend to look at all those kind of things.
Yeah, fair enough. I just find tipping a bit – ever since I discovered fantasy, I just find tipping a bit simple.
It's a very strange tipping comp, and it uses the odds, and if you're tipping – the non-favorites to the point that it uses the percentages of how many people tip a team. And if you're tipping someone that only 40% of the comp is tipping, you get more points for it if they win.
Right. Okay.
And it kind of racks up. So if you're tipping someone that only 10% of the comp is tipping and they win, you get 4 points for it.
Okay. So there's a little bit more complexity and layering to that. No, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Bit of strategy. You kind of work out what the other side of it, what the comp's going to do and where you reckon you will get points for tipping underdogs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds cool.
It is a pretty cool competition. But yeah, this side, what do we got? What do you think trades for this game?
I think Billings is a great trade in. Howes is a must get. I think Hoare is a reasonable option. And D'Ambrosio seems to be the hottest name in fantasy circles at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly has come up a lot. And I'm probably looking at that pretty closely this week. I don't know about Hoare. They were talked about Hoare a lot last week. And I don't know what he got, but it wasn't huge. I don't think it was enough for me to take much notice.
He's probably I'm more interested in Supercoach, where his basement price, I think he's sitting just above 300,000. Yeah. If you've got the cash to take Reed up to Hoare, you can do that. Or if you've got a mid-pricer who failed, maybe like a Buterick, you could take him down to Hoare, bank that cash. I wouldn't say he's a must-get. He's okay for AF.
Yeah, I was trying to flipping between Hoare and Caulfield last week. Now, I don't think Caulfield did anything spectacular either. Hoare might have been better value for money.
from a fantasy standpoint, Caulfield didn't look fantastic.
No. I could be looking to trade Caulfield out this week, but he's probably not worth enough money to move on. Trade outs. What are you going to do? What would you do with Newcomb?
You've got to hold him, don't you? I don't have him in anything, but you don't.
I've seen a lot of people trying to upgrade him to a sarong or something.
Yeah, it's not the kind of move I'd advocate for. You know, Melbourne are a pretty good matchup for inside midfielders. I just think he had an off week. He scored 130 in a practice match, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. I'd be holding Newcomb personally.
Give him another week. Yeah, that makes sense. What about Amon?
Carl Amon, you've got to hold him as well.
Yeah, I think there's probably not too much in his price range you can get to without throwing a whole lot of coin at him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? All the Hawks, like running backs, sort of scored well last week, like Impey, D'Ambrosio, Amon. They didn't, even Weddle got a 75, I think. They didn't smash it, but there was a nice spread of scoring. I think that back line will settle a little more, and this is the reason why I'm not keen on D'Ambrosio. I reckon that might have been one out of the box for him.
Yeah, I got him in a keeper league, and he hasn't been super fantastic over the journey. I guess he's in a different team with a different role, but he's historically not a consistent big scorer.
Yeah, I'm not buying it just yet. I'd like to see. I don't think he can go 90 again this week. I don't think he's going to hurt you if you miss him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Streamers, I've got Stephen May. What do you think of him? A big score last week.
He was my shoe-in of the week last week, and he went boom.
Turned out pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. He was awesome, looked awesome. But defenders against the Dogs is pretty much the best bet for streaming at the moment. It was defenders against St. Kilda, but I think that's shifting a little bit. Defenders against the Dogs. I wouldn't be relying on Stephen May if you drafted him or took him off the waivers. Very nice score last week. And we know he's got that potential.
That's true, yeah. He can also completely spot out because he is a key position, so he can do nothing as well. That's a worry.
Yeah, there's always that risk with him. I really like Connor Nash, inside midfielders against Melbourne, usually pretty good. Connor Nash is still getting a bunch of CBAs despite all the talk of, you know, McKenzie and Ward and McDonald, but they like Nash in the middle. I think Nash's basement is around 75-80 for AF, and he can get a ton when he's getting the ball. So, yeah, I like Connor Nash as a stream for the midfield in that game.
Yeah, I think I have I don't have him. I've got him on my bench in one of my draft leagues, so I've put him on the field this week. But, yeah, I think he's a good go, especially if you've got buy issues and you want to stream someone if he's available. That's a solid option.
Yeah, he's pretty available. I think he's around, 55%. So his ownership's actually gone up since I wrote the article. I'm not guessing that's because people read it.
You never know.
There's just a lot of savvy coaches out there.
No, that's true. Captaincy-wise, Demons Mids, Oliver, Petrarca, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Hawthorn are historically a boon for opposition mids. So Track, Oliver, Viney, I think, if you've got him
Viney's been going well.
Yeah, if you've got him in a draft league and you can maybe, I'm not sure they play early enough, but if you get a little vice-captain loophole going with Viney, I reckon that's an awesome play.
Viney's been a great late draft pick, hasn't he? Like, what draft pick do you reckon he would have gone at?
He would have gone in like the sort of, I don't know, 70 to 90 range.
Yeah.
Like rounds 8 to 10. And I was really hot on Viney just with all the Oliver malarkey going around preseason. Oliver's playing, and you can tell he's probably not at peak fitness. And yeah, I think at least up until the buys, Viney's going to be a 100-plus guy.
Oh, yeah. It's an absolute steal at that range. What do we got next? Let's have a look. The Swans and the Dons. So that is Essendon for my inability to read. Hawker will be on me to that. Always goes on. But I can't read stuff while I'm flicking through windows. So sucked in, Hawker. I did it again.
Make your own podcast, Hawker. No, I like Hawker. He interacts a bit on Twitter. I'm familiar with his work.
He gets into stuff. He's quite everywhere. He's a good bloke, even though sometimes he can be a dick. So Corey Warner comes in for the injured Robbie Fox. Laverde, Draper comes back. Parrish comes back, which is a big one. And Hine comes back. So, yeah, Reed's injured, which is a big one. Redmond suspended. Guelph is injured. And Harrison Jones has been omitted. So a bit going on from the ins and outs in that one.
Yeah, Parrish back's probably going to impact Perkins, who was a pretty hot waiver pickup. But having the forward status and scoring a 130, you just have to pick Perkins up and see what happens. So don't drop Perkins just because Parrish is back. Maybe keep him on your bench. If you're playing in a deeper league, you can definitely run Perkins, although Sydney aren't the best matchup, especially the SCG.
Yeah, I don't know about how good Perkins is from a single season, but I know he's a very popular keeper pick.
Understandably. What is he, 23?
Yeah. He'd have to be about that. Yeah, and he's got a big future ahead of him.
He does. He showed a lot of tools last week. I think the other important move, probably more salary-based, is holding Nick Martin now that Redmond's out for the week. The role looked awesome in the first half. His usage was a little shonky. I know his super coach score was considerably lower than his AF score, but Nick Martin's absolutely a hold in all formats.
Yeah, I think so. What would you be doing with Reed if you've got him?
Well, it's a month. Cash generation's imperative.
You want to hold him?
I'm going to hold him in super coach.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got limited trades there, so that comes into it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to hold him in Supercoach and just see what Hoare does this week and probably trade him next week before Hoare goes up. But he's a must trade in AF.
Yeah. What would you be doing with him, though? Like, he's not much money, is he? So you'd have to generate some money to go somewhere.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. I think Hoare is a $50,000 jump. I don't think you want to bring in someone like that Frio rookie, you know, a young key defender.
Yeah.
You know what? Holding Reed in AF, come to think of it, is not a bad option either. You can just sort of,
if you can stick him with, if you've got bench players to hold it for him, yeah, you want to make some money somewhere else.
There's been a lot of talk about the best 18 strategy, so we don't have to have our full teams playing each week at the moment. We want the cash generation, but he's a hard pivot right now.
Yeah, I forgot about the best 18s this week. So, yeah, that certainly comes into it. If you've got your spuds, you can certainly afford to field them a bit more.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I'm not really sure what to do with Reed in AF, but, yeah, there's a few more options in Supercoach because of his price point.
Yeah, for sure. And we spoke about Grundy. You'd be getting rid of him?
In AF, I'm going to pivot to Heaney. I'm going to send Jackson into the ruck. Yeah, I believe it was on one of the other pods was talking about Heaney and how you've missed the boat. I still think he's a must get. I reckon that role's going to hold even when Parker, Adams, and eventually Mills return, and he's going to be a top six forward.
Yeah, and he's only, 808? Like, that's not that much. You can afford to not get him.
You just got to ignore the price jump. He went up 70 or 80K. If you can ignore that, which I'm choosing to, I think he's a must own.
Oh, yeah. It's much better than not having him, especially if he drops another massive score on your head, which he could well against the Dons.
Yeah, and his run after the Dons is sublime.
Is it?
Yeah. West Coast is in there and a couple of other pretty weak teams. Worst case scenario, he makes you another 100K in AF and then you dump him for his buy.
Yeah, I think you've definitely got to get on if you haven't already. I picked up Heaney. I've got Heaney and Jackson, so yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with Grundy. Probably Zeri, but I'm keen on holding him another week to see what he does, but yeah, I'll have to work out my exact trades. Zeri is definitely a play.
I think holding him is it could be a really crafty move because it seems like a lot of people are moving away and he'll become a POD and he's got a ceiling, so it's not a bad move at all.
Yeah, are we keen on staying away from Goulden, or he's still a bit up and down and his money is huge?
Yeah, he might even have some more cash to leak and he's got that upcoming buy. I wouldn't be targeting Goulden. If you're going to go up to that type of player, you may as well go Sarong, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think, yeah, you could afford to stay away from Goulden. I'm still not entirely convinced. The bold prediction that I made last week of him being a sub-90 guy for the year is probably not on, but I'm still not entirely convinced.
Bold, no, he'll be good, but he's not a target at this point of the year.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. Is it captaincy? Would you put the captaincy on him though, if you happen to have him?
Vice captain.
Yeah, that makes sense. Could you vice captain Heaney?
You could absolutely vice captain Heaney. He's especially in Supercoach where he's averaging circa 130.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty solid. You seem to get more reward in Supercoach, don't you? Like the players go bigger there, or just sort of midfield fest.
Yeah, I mean contested possession, loose ball gets, one percenters, spoils. These are rewarded and scored for in Supercoach. You don't play?
No, I've never played Supercoach. I've just been fantasy man myself. I've thought about it, but generally I don't bother with multiple formats because I get confused.
No, I get that. I stopped playing Real Dream Team because of that reason. Remembering all the three different price points and break evens, and you know, you got to have a life outside of fantasy.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So what do we got? Anyone else with captaincy potential from that game?
I mean, Heaney, absolutely. Yep. Goulden, if you want to vice captain him. If you want to be in the face of everybody else, Grundy maybe as a vice captain.
Yeah, for a vice captaincy, you could give that a go.
And on the other side, Sydney are a tough matchup at their home ground. Merritt, you know, he needs the space. SCG small. Parrish, perhaps, but he's coming off an injury. I don't like any of the Essendon players as a captaincy option.
I wouldn't touch him. What are you streaming from this game? Anything?
Yeah, defenders. Sydney defenders.
Oh, okay.
I would be looking at Florent and Cunningham. I mentioned Florent in the article, and Cunningham I didn't, but is still a guy he's got a nice high floor and can get you like a 90 to 100 sort of score when he's getting around the ball.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I also had Logan McDonald written down. He's been pretty solid. I don't know what his ownership would be like if he's really a streaming option, but Essendon were a bit patchy. So, yeah, the Swans forwards could get a hold of him.
Yeah, Logan McDonald, he's 10% owned, so he's definitely available. Yeah. He's averaging 66.5, which is only 4 or 5 points off a fieldable forward anyway. So, the Bombers are probably going to be a little bit leaky, and one of the Sydney forwards, key forwards, could really get off the chain.
Yeah, I quite like that. He had a decent preseason as well. Solid streaming option for mine. All right, the Dogs and the Suns on Mars, which is fantasy relevant because the popular theory is that Mars gives up a lot of fantasy points. Although I just remember that game where Buddy Small Potato came out and got a 20 when I put a captain on him. That sucked.
Yeah. Oh, that really marred his reputation. I know the traders like to reminisce on that one quite a bit. I really like Caleb Daniel. I feel for him in that game. But he burnt a lot of fantasy coaches.
He did. I couldn't go back there. They had him as sub last week too. I don't know what's going on with that team.
Oh, an absolute coach killer. If you're in a league without rolling lockouts, that was a real coach killer.
Oh, yeah. It's just a mess. So what do we got? Ins and outs. Oscar Baker, Sam Darcy, Taylor DeRay, and Caleb Poulter come in for the Dogs. Although this is a Sunday game, so remembering these are extended benches. James Harms is out suspended. Jed Walter, Rory Atkins. Hey, he comes back. Ben Long, Mac Andrew, and Sam Cluisi, who's a debutant, as well as Jed Walter. Malcolm Roses is suspended, and Darcy McPherson gets cut. Jeez, he's had a fall from grace.
Big time. He's had that switch of role where they've taken him out of the back line and moved him to the forward line, and he's just not getting around the ball. And now he's not even making the 25 squad.
I had a couple of drafts that were like very early, kind of January, and people picked Darcy McPherson with a relatively high pick and just got burnt.
If they'd read the draft doctor's kit, not to go near Darcy McPherson this year.
Yes, I'm not sure the draft doctors, but that generally drops, what, mid-February or something?
Yeah, we get it out pretty early, almost straight after Australia Day is what we aim for.
Oh, okay. So it might have been out by then. Oh, we should have had a look. Oh, you guys are on the ball. I think people also didn't see that the Sexton thing coming. Mind you, that is a little disappointing. Do you think Sexton's still going to have the role that was promised, the kind of high fantasy point scoring role, or he's just going to be a sort of okay guy?
He'll be 80 to 85, I think. Last week was obviously a terrible one for the mark kick players in the wet.
That's true. It was horrible.
he's an absolute hold in salary formats, and I'd be holding him in all draft leagues as well. He's got the forward status. He's going to get defender status. The biggest banana, to quote my man Warney there, is Will Powell, who is almost a captain option this week against the Dogs.
Really?
Yeah. Defenders against the Dogs is, like I said before, is the most advantageous matchup at the moment. If you've got Will Powell, I know he plays on the Sunday, so you can't really vice-captain him. It takes some pretty big ones to put the straight C on him, but he's if you want to get fancy with your captaincy option in a draft league this week, he's a go.
I don't mind that. I don't think I have any Will Powell stocks anywhere. But I know in a few of my keeper leagues, people are very high on Will Powell and have been for years.
People were, and I, for some reason, just didn't buy into the hype. I guess I'd never really seen it, but yeah, he's looking really good.
Yeah. The other one to note that doesn't come up in the ins and outs, but McRae does not come back. So God knows what's going on with him.
Yeah. And Harms is out as well. That's going to hurt a couple of teams, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I've got McRae and a couple of keepers, and I think even some draft things where the early ones where I probably would have gone McRae as an F1, so that's burnt me for 2 weeks now.
Well, I don't have any stocks in McRae, so I'm not really paying attention, but did he play in the VFL last week?
I think he did, yeah. So I don't know why he's not playing AFL this week.
Yeah, it's a mystery to me.
He pulled up badly, I don't know. Matty Rao, I've got him in Classic, really liking what I'm seeing.
You've got him in Classic.
Yes, a bit of a pod there.
Nice, I like that. Yeah, no, he's looking awesome. And at a ground like Mars, which isn't known for immaculate weather down in Ballarat, he could have another big game for sure.
Yes, I like the looks of Matty Rao, although I've just clicked on his little picture, and he's got a terrible goatee and a mullet, so I don't know what he's doing there with the photo. That's horrible.
He's not what you'd call traditionally attractive. I'll just
leave it at that. Even worse, he's a little ranger with a goatee and a mullet. Oh, it's just horrible. So, yes, I had – you've got streaming options for the defenders against the Dogs, isn't it? And captaincy options for defenders against the Dogs. I had Suns mids and Dogs mids. I think any mids at Mars are going to go good there.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of the stadium – historical scoring. It's more just the matchup, but I'll take your word for it, of course.
Well, that's just what the guys on the BEP chat tell me. But I think it's true. I think I've heard that on the traders as well. I haven't digged down to the stats, just going on what people reckon, but I quite like the look of that. Any other captaincy options on that game?
Well, if what you said just then is true, then Bond, Weber, Talk, Anderson, like all guys that can go 130 on their day. I just back to the defensive streams. I think Buderick will be traded out of a lot of salary teams. But if you can stomach seeing that 10 sitting on your team for a couple more days, I reckon Buderick could bounce back for 90-plus against the Dogs.
I really don't like Buderick, and I haven't all preseason. But someone did say he was tagging last game, and it was obviously terrible weather. So yeah, maybe you do give him another week. I don't know.
Obviously, it depends on your team, but holding him wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, that's true. And there's probably you've probably got bigger fish to fry, I guess, too, and for most teams.
Yeah, and if you hit the waivers in your draft leagues and you need a streamer defender, he's a very, very serviceable option, in my opinion.
That's true, and people were probably putting him back on the waivers as well, so he's going to be sitting around.
Yeah, I got him in a couple of draft leagues. I was on him this preseason, and I'm holding strong. If he puts in another shocker, he's an easy turf.
Well, that's true. All right, let's take a look at the Tigers and Port Adelaide, which is another fantasy interesting game. Obviously, we've got squads here, but Tom Brown, Ben Miller, Sam Banks. God, I'm going to trouble with this pronunciation for this guy. Mikelti Liofau.
Sounds like you're saying hi, my name is in a completely different language.
Someone's going to correct me on that one. And Samson Ryan, and then we've got Tyler Young's injured, Josh Gibkus is injured. Now, I don't know, never really crossed my mind to pick Gibkus from a fantasy point of view, but I think he was big in Supercoach.
Yeah, he was a little cheaper in Supercoach, and his game suits the scoring system more.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have him in either format. I just don't like young key backs. I haven't thought about what people might do with Gibb because I think it's a similar situation to Reed in AFL Fantasy.
Yeah, pretty much. He's not worth much. So you're either going to try and find some money to put on him, or you're going to jump him back to a debutante or a rookie that you don't have, would be the only thought I had. But yeah, I never considered him either because he's historically not been very good. I think I picked him up in a keeper league when he first debuted and he gave me a handful of 40s and then got injured.
Yeah, and he was coming off a knee reconstruction. I know he went overseas and had some, you know, mystical treatment or whatever it was, some alternative treatment. But yeah, I was never on him. And sorry, listeners, but you can figure out what to do with Gibb because I haven't put a thought into it.
I think you're probably going to have to jump him back to a ruck and then try and and then spend the money elsewhere. Yeah, I haven't looked too much at Kipkis either. On the Port side, we've got Mitch Georgiades, which is back. Jace Burgoyne, Dylan Williams, and Jordan Sweet comes in, which kind of confirms the theory that we had last week in that most teams who play Sunday always put a second ruck on the extended bench. Now, I don't know why. It just kind of shits fantasy teams everywhere and scares people, especially Soldo owners. But yeah, so Jordan Sweet's on the extended bench, but I wouldn't imagine he makes the squad.
Yeah, you're right. I noticed Harry Barnett, everyone's favorite loophole option at the moment, is named. I don't want to jump the gun here, but he's named on in West Coast squad. I doubt he'll play, but so, you know, if you're loopholing this week and Harry Barnett is coming off your bench, That's a team update you need to be aware of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, then you're probably going to be watching it right to the last minute to make sure they don't throw him in as a sub.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Because they play, five-man benches now, don't they, right up until game time?
So the sub gets named an hour before the bounce. So it just means you've got to live on your phone even more if you want to maximize your success in fantasy football these days. Personally, I just wish they went back to the old Thursday or Friday night lockout and just let whatever's going to happen. But it's all about that screen time, that engagement, you know.
I think so, yeah. It's annoying. You get these subs and these extended benches and you're always waiting around for things. Yeah, it'd be much easier if they just dropped all the teams on Thursday night and you could plug everything in and then away you go.
Yeah, I'm not even a fan of the vice captain loophole. Like, I think people should have to make an informed decision at the start of the week and not have two bites at the cherry.
Yeah, and I have stuffed up the vice captain loophole probably more often than I've benefited from it. I'll either nail a vice and the guy that I've got to loopholes already played, or he is playing, or they end up putting him back on as a sub in the last minute and you get 20 as a captain instead, and you're like,
it is nuanced and you've got to pay a lot of attention to the fixture. But if you want to be competitive these days, you just have to do it.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of points in that VC loophole if you can get it right. Mm-hmm. What else have we got from that game? Obviously Rosie and our least favorite man in the world, Mr. Butters, pretty good captaincy options. I suppose you could probably bring them in if you're looking for a midfield as well and you don't want to go somewhere like Sarong if you're looking to go up. I think they're both pretty solid options.
Yeah, they're not commanding you bring them in at all, but if you like them, there's no reason not to get them. They've got a really nice early run. They play a lot of games at Adelaide Oval for the first two-thirds of the season. I was combing over their fixture a week or two ago, and it was the reason I chose Wines, who we should mention. I think he's definitely a hold in Super Coach. He had a down game fantasy wise, but still got a 95 in Super Coach. I'm happy to see him play against Richmond's depleted midfield, and I think it'd go either way in AF. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm probably looking at trading him myself, but it's just a question of I've got a few guys in that same boat, you know, your Grundys or your Wines or your there's a few others that you kind of could go 50-50 on trading. I'd be more than happy to stick with Wines for another game to see what he does, but yeah, certainly I'm a lot less confident in his output than I was last week.
Yeah, understandably. For me, it's a cash generation thing, and that 70's going to drop out pretty quickly, but most of the money's made early in AF. I don't know all the semantics, but I see the hardcore nerds discussing it on Twitter. I'm actually going to use a bit of DPP magic and put him to billing.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't mind that. I think that the billing straight's a solid one.
Well, it also means that I can take a forward rookie off my field and then play three of four of my mid rookies, who are McKercher, Roberts, Sanders, or Sharp. I think all four of them are fieldable.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. The DPP is always a funny one. I always get stung because I'll use DPPs at the start of the week to make my kind of trades, and then I'll go to undo them because someone gets injured later on, and then something's happened and you can't undo the DPP trades and you get stuck.
Yeah, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, bloody DPPs. Always burns me. I don't like fiddling around with it too much. I don't like trying to get too fancy with my trades or my vice captains. I always get burnt.
I know, there's so much flexibility in modern fantasy football, but I'm a big advocate for DPP. I always try to start one of each, like a defensive DPP and a defensive forward in my midfield, because it just opens up your trading options so much.
It does, yeah. It is nice, especially later on in the season where you can shift around your big guys and pull in different people and make some money.
Definitely. And I find that they're pretty generous with giving DPP to rookies these days. I'm not sure if that's by design, but I've noticed that there's a lot of good, especially forward midfielder rookies that come in that make trading and making money a lot easier earlier in the season.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. And I'm not sure if it's – I think it might be just that, you know, because when they give them their positions, they're kind of stabbing in the dark at kind of what they've done, you know, in the past and where they think they're going to play, and then the coaches will throw them somewhere totally different.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because often you'll see, like, yeah, someone get a forward position or a defensive position and they come out and they spend a lot of time in the midfield or something.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right there. One we should probably mention there too is Seth Campbell for Richmond.
Yeah, he's
on the extended bench, a bit of a sub watch, I think. If he gets named, you can safely hold him, but I wouldn't be fielding him at this point.
Yeah, no, I think you've got better guys. It's got good cash gen if he's going to play. I think his break-even must still be quite low. I know it was very low last week.
Yeah, well, he scored a 70-odd round one, and we like the round zero players because they will increase in value quicker than the others. So if he can stay in the squad, even if he is the sub, you're not going to have the option to change anyway because it's a Sunday game. But just keep him on your bench.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you can't even loophole him either, can you? Because you're playing the Sunday. So yeah, bench is the safest option for him. Yeah, I had Rasheem Butters as captaincy options for this game. Not anything relevant from the Tigers, I wouldn't have thought.
In terms of captains, no. In terms of streams, not even. Porter really hard to score against. Yeah, Porter, restrictive team. Like, you saw West Coast midfield last week. I think their highest player didn't crack 80. Tim Kelly, absolute stinker. I think Yo only got a 70.
Yeah, Yo wasn't great.
Yeah, Porter, not a team you want to stream against, but I really like Port on the other side, Port forwards. And Travis Boak in his 350th, he's floating around waiver-wise. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of a milestone stream.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think he could be good. The draft doxers are in general about milestone streamers, aren't they?
Sorry, say it again.
I said the draft doctors generally like a milestone stream.
I couldn't tell you, but I
think Stevie Fierce is big on milestone streams.
Is he? All right, I'm only an intern at the draft doctors Memphis Center, but I'm definitely a stream guy when it comes to the milestone games. I love a final game stream if it's a round 23, and the one I always remember is Matty Boyd in his last game binking like a 140 AF in round 23. Nice. Yeah. Always look out for those send-off game streams.
Oh, yeah, they're always nice. Already got the last one, which is possibly one of the most fantasy-relevant games of the week. We've got the Eagles, which are going to be absolutely poleaxed by the GWS Giants. Oscar Allen's injured, and then, Sunday games again. Jermaine Jones, Harry Barnett, which we spoke about earlier, Ryan Marek, which is probably interesting from a draft point of view. Or maybe keepers more. Tyrell Dewa or Dewa, who is another new guy if you're looking for a downgrade. I don't even know what he does. Dewa. He is a 200K forward. Probably won't get a game. So, but if he does end up on the bench somehow, you can have a look. Ryan Angwin, James Peatling, Toby McMullen, and Lockie Keefe come in for the Giants. And Nick Hayes is out on personal reasons, which could be a factor from a draft point of view.
Nick Hayes, don't know too much about Nick Hayes.
Nick Haynes.
Yeah, he'd be owned some places. I don't think it's going to hurt teams too much. You could probably drop him, and especially in shallow leagues.
Yeah, he's probably not. He was relevant, I guess, a couple of years ago. He had some big scores, but he probably hasn't done a lot recently.
Yeah, there's too many mouths to feed down back for the Giants these days. You've got Whitfield, who's killing it. Ash, who can get his Himmelberg. Even Iden is pretty good for a 70-75. So there's just not enough points there anymore for a guy like Haynes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, trade-ins, obviously we spoke about needing to get in anyone that plays for GWS. I don't think there's anyone you'd want to get rid of, even from a West Coast point of view. You wouldn't jump off Yo, would you?
I'd be holding Yo. Like I said, the Port Adelaide matchup's a tough one. Definitely holding Yo.
Yeah, I think so. It's difficult to get any GWS guys in because is there bye next week or the week after?
It is next week, yeah. I wouldn't be trading in any GWS guys, although Whitfield and Tom Green do look like they're about to make a lot more cash, and they've got West Coast on deck. So if money is a concern for you and you think these guys are going to get out of reach, this could be the week to go.
Yeah, I really like Tom Green. I had Tom Green in my side until like a couple of days out from the season when I realized I had just buttloads of guys who were going to have a bye that week. So I had to chop some, which is disappointing. But I still got Whitfield. And I think he's likely to go big this week, or anyone could. Kelly, Tom Green, Whitfield, even Hogan. I had Hogan as a stream option. I don't know what his ownership's like.
He's above 70 now, I reckon.
Oh, really?
I looked at him as a stream option this week, but his ownership was a little too high for me to want to consider him. He's at 85% now. And
Jesus.
Yeah, so people are – I mean, he's averaging 98.
That's true.
And he's got West Coast, so yeah 85% ownership. In. You've got to get Cadman into your salary cap formats.
Oh, okay. I could look at doing that.
He's got good job security, and with West Coast on hand, I think he scored like a 60 or a 70 last week, so his break even is pretty friendly.
Yeah, that's
true. I like Cadman as a trade-in option. I probably prefer Cadman over Dempsey, even though Cadman does have his impending bye.
He's probably had a 47 in the first round and a 56 last round against North. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd probably stay away from both of them, but I'd be going Dempsey out of those two, especially with the bye coming up.
Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't realize he was that low. I'm looking at his 72 in Supercoach.
Oh, okay. Trying to convert it off the top of your head. Fancy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, probably go Dempsey there, guys. I'll rescind my statement.
That's all right. I think they're both much of a muchness, but yeah, he does have the bye next week. Captaincy options is obviously all those midfielders for GWS, even Lockie Whitfield, if you can hold on to a captaincy that late, maybe a bluer VCE looking for something. I think there's definitely options in that game.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of streaming options too. One that's on the West Coast side, and I'm not expecting him to do a lot this week because GWS don't give up a lot, but Jermaine Jones.
Oh, okay.
He should be playing off the half back for West Coast, and I'm not sure what he was dealing with in the preseason, but he showed signs last year. Obviously, West Coast are without Shannon Hearn. Alex Witherden looks washed. Andrew Gaff's not going to be running back there from the wing. Keep an eye on Jermaine Jones.
Yeah, I don't mind that. There's someone's got to do good from West Coast. They can't all get injured.
And like West Coast defenders, let's be real, the ball's going to be down there.
That's true. Load. Yeah, there's definitely potential for the West Coast defenders to be relevant. That brings us to the end of the round. So I take questions, but I did put out a question post and it got a couple of likes, but no questions, which is always fun. We have fun with the listeners here in that they seem to like bold predictions and not questions. And if we put a poll out, we get a buttload of votes on the poll, but no one ever wants to comment on anything. I don't know what the listeners are doing there.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys need a lesson in engagement farming, I think.
Probably. Well, Cam's a master in engagement farming, isn't he? He does it for the draft doctors.
Well, he's not doing it at the moment. I'm pretty sure it's just Stevie Fizz behind the wheel when it comes to
the Twitter. He just does abuse, account. Doesn't he? I don't know if that counts as engagement farming.
What's that?
He just doesn't he just do abuse and bag out new listeners? I don't know if that counts as farming.
it's Twitter. It's a cesspool. He knows his target demographic.
That's true. Yeah, he's pretty good at that. Well, he lives in Portland. He's probably pretty good with cesspools.
To Portland, so I'm not going to comment.
No, I'm very confident Stevie Fierce does not listen, so I think we'll be okay.
Okay, yeah, he's not across many of the fantasy podcasts these days.
No, we even had last year we had was looking for the cheap guys to bring in every week, and I had the Stevie Fierce Cheap Bastard of the Week award. I've never got any feedback on that one, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen.
The poorest man in football. Yeah, he probably would have approved. I wonder if he sold that chicken. He's really, really paying to get rid of it. I'm not sure what behavioral issues this chicken has, but
he's not. Well, he actually would want someone to pay him. He wants to pay someone to get rid of the chicken, or he wants someone to buy it.
He'll pay you $20 and deliver the chicken. I mean, you can't.
Wow, that's keen. There must really be something wrong with this chicken.
I'll send him a message and ask. It's fascinating to me.
That is bizarre. I got chickens myself and they're weird, but I wouldn't be paying someone to take them off my hands.
Oh, in this economy.
No, I need the eggs. That's it. All right, let's look in some bold predictions. Now, I'm going to bring up last week's, which for some reason is buzzing this evening, so I don't know what's going on. Let's see. DG Fantasy said Dawson to go 140. That didn't happen. I don't know. Was it this week? When is it? 16th? No, that must have been last week. Jordan Clark to have 30 disposals and ton up. I'm pretty sure none of those things happened.
Nope.
Soldo 120. Frio to lose by 30 plus. Well, that second part certainly didn't happen.
No, neither.
Since you've been gone, nope. And he said for the years. Led to average sub 90, Swans to win the flag, and Grundy wins the Norm Smith. Well, Grundy's not going to win the Norm Smith, but the Swans are going pretty well.
He'll have a chance. I can definitely see them getting into the granny.
It's certainly a possibility. Let's have a look. Old mate Nathan Quarrell, who was on last week, said Bonner to get 130. Well, 130 tonight. That certainly is not going to happen.
Bonner had a 0 point first quarter and then he had a 33 point second quarter and now he's currently on 40. So
okay, yeah, that's he can obviously has the potential to score in quarters and then do nothing.
Yeah,
just like the Lions. Milne says Hogan's gonna kick 10. That's not bold, Milne. Probably
No, that's a pretty obvious one, I'd say.
Didact DT says Cadman's going to kick 5. Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah, again, not bold enough for me. It's West Coast. You might kick 5 on them if you had the delivery of Kelly and Green and Cornelio.
And he says Zeri to lead the comp in hitouts for the year.
Yeah, I like that. That's
pretty good. The Farknarkle says Eagles to beat the Giants.
No, sir. Absolutely not. Too bold.
And my old mate, Dussie Wilmot Stan, said Sanders to get 120, 30 touches, 2 goals and 5 clearances. That was last week. Pretty sure he didn't do very well at all, Sanders.
Nah, Bevode.
Yep, I think so. And he says for the year, Heaney ends up at F1. So that's possible. I don't know how bold it was. I guess before last week, it was sort of bold.
It's only bold because of Sam Flanders. Sam Flanders has looked really good. But yeah, Heaney will be up there. He'll be a top 3 for it, I reckon.
I think so. So this week, I've gone Grundy to bounce back, which is odd because I might trade him myself, and put 130 on traders' heads. And the Lions to lose to the bye because they've been going rubbish.
That reminds me of a very funny YouTube video I saw. Port Adelaide playing the bye. If you've got a spare, I think it's like a 2-minute video. Go to YouTube and Search up Port Adelaide versus the Bye. One of the best videos you'll see.
Nice. Did they lose?
They lost to the Bye. An errant kick, an errant kick backwards, cost them a behind, and yeah, the Bye got up.
Oh, nice. Spoiler alert. That's very Port Adelaide. Yeah, I can see Hef saying Zach Hinkley after that one.
Yeah. Yeah, the game plan needed revising.
Yeah. You got any bold predictions for the week?
I'm not sure if you mentioned it, and I agree. I'm not sure if it was someone predicting for last round or this round, but I reckon Jordan Dawson could be the top scorer for this round, and I love him as a vice-captain option tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's certainly a solid vice-captain option. Top scorer is pretty good, though, because especially with that that giant West Coast game. So he'd have to score pretty high if he was going to top anyone there. So he'd be looking at 145-plus. Surely
yeah,
to get
he
top
can do it, though. He can do it. Matt Crouch didn't have a lot of game time last week, so that made his score actually even more impressive. I don't have any Crouch stocks. But, yeah, Crouch is low game time. Jordy Dawson back at Adelaide Oval. Geelong's weak midfield. You know, he had a pretty poor game. I think he had 5 or 6 clangers, which is very un-Dawson-like, even in the wet weather. He's the captain. I can see him just bouncing back hard. I love Dawson this week.
Yeah, I really like that. You got a football prediction for us?
I reckon North can beat Freo by a lot.
Ooh, a lot.
Not just beat them.
I had them by like a goal.
I reckon they could get off the chain. Nick Larkey kicks 6. Freo's defense is looking pretty sketchy.
Yeah, they don't travel well either, do they?
No, they do not. And North Melbourne's injury list is pretty good. Apart from Goda, I'm pretty sure they've got their best 23 on hand.
Yeah, they do look well. You can see that in a couple of years, they'll be a really good team.
We hope McKercher doesn't go for $2 million a year to the new Tassie team.
That's possible. Yeah, Tassie could come and raid them.
Yeah, I don't want North Melbourne to be I call it a farm. You know, they have these young players, develop them for 3 or 4 years, and they go to other clubs when they start to become
certainly possible, yeah,
genuinely impactful. I can sort of see that happening with McKercher, though, because the AFL are going to want the Tassie team to be really good, really fast.
Yeah, the Tassie thing's interesting. I've been talking to a lot of people about that this week. Well, A, they're going to come and raid good players, and B, they're going to raid the draft. So the whole league's going to be messed up whenever. And if they don't bring in a 20, if they're going to have a bye. So it's going to mess up everything.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll have a 20th team and we'll split into two conferences by then. Anything could happen.
No, that's possible. I don't know. I think the amount of time it's taken to get Tassie to this point, I can't see them getting up a 20th team by the time they start.
That's a good point. A good point.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be buyers and draft concessions and trades, and yeah, it's going to be a mess. You don't want to be down the bottom of the ladder by that point.
No, you'd imagine clubs are planning for that future.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a fun one. But yeah, good to have Tassie in the comp. I'm not over the moon like all the traders guys are. I'm going to yam around about it all week, but I didn't buy one of those founding memberships, but I did sign up to the what's it called, the Believe Tasmanian email petition thing when I was there a couple of years ago. So they keep pinging me with emails. So yeah, I don't mind. I've got a few mates from Tassie, so yeah, good on them.
Sounds like you've done your part, mate.
Yeah, I signed up to an email thing several years ago. Certainly didn't pay him $10 for a sticker, I can tell you that much.
Build this man a statue.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I'll come back to Tassie and you can give me a standing ovation when I get off the boat.
Yeah. I like that. Ticker tape parade outside the moat.
Oh, why not? Why not? All right. At that mighty fine point, we'll call it there. Have fun, Beppers.
See you guys.